Do something a little bit different, and but it's a good thing, and I want to say thank you for allowing me to do this and supporting it, and I think it's pretty important. I'd like to start with the psalm that Barbara Phillips, my long-term buddy, all-around good girl, pretty hip, I might say. She was pretty hip. A little bit superstitious. You know, I'd have to get on her every once in a while about that, you know. But man, she was a neat girl. I mean, she was my elder, but she was a neat girl. And she always made me feel loved, always made me feel supported, always made me feel great. And I'd walk in, hello, boss, you know, almost every single time I'd walk around the corner, hello, boss. And it really kind of drove her daughters kind of upset about that, because even when she could no longer remember her daughter's name, she would remember me. I'd walk around the corner and she'd say, hello, boss. And they kind of got upset about it. And I said, well, wait a minute, you've got to understand, she saw me, you know, many times every week. And, you know, she didn't see y'all every day, so don't feel too bad about it. But they did. They did. But Barbara Phillips, she was a unique character. But one of the, she loved the Word of God and she loved the work of God. She came from a Church of Christ background. And when she got saved, she hung on to salvation is by grace through faith. You're either saved by receiving the good gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life by that gift, or you're not saved at all. And when she made that decision in faith, her family kind of turned on her. And in those years especially, if you come out of the Church of Christ, that was kind of like the stalwart Church of Christ years. And they would say, you can't go to heaven if you're not a Church of Christ member. You can't go to heaven if you're not baptized into Church of Christ. And then they believe that you're saved by the baptism, not only your faith. Well, there's all kinds of problems with that. And they would literally, they would disown their family members if they departed from the Church of Christ. Now, I went to two funerals over here where Brother Bob Petchalot serves. He helps over there. And two of those services I went to were by being hosted by a Church of Christ preacher. And he got up there and it was two of the most saddest, pathetic sermons I've ever heard of in my life. And he talked about, well, he's got his member, church member's body laying up here. And he says, well, I hope he's in heaven. I hope I go to heaven. Nobody could ever really know. So even though they say you have to be baptized in their church, they still say there's no guarantee that you're going to heaven. So, I mean, just it was so pathetic. And I just wanted to stand up and scream, you know, just if that's the best you can do, why don't you sit down and let a better man do the job. But it wasn't the proper thing to do. So besides, my wife was holding me by the coat, you know, one of those things. But no, I'm kidding about the last point. At least I don't remember it anyway. But Barbara came out of that Church of Christ movement and she realized that salvation is provided by Jesus Christ alone. And you either receive Him as a gift or you didn't receive Him at all. And so she decided, hey, you know what? I love my family. And she didn't burn the bridge. They kind of did. There was more huff than puff. But they kind of did a little bit with her for a number of years. But they eventually came around. But she made a decision. It was a decision by conviction of God's Word. I mean, who am I supposed to believe, God or men? And so she decided, hey, and I'm going to do this. So I'd like to do a little something. I'll get to a little bit of a sermonette with Psalm 23. But I'd like to read Psalm 23 because Barbara, we talked about this a lot. And when I die, you know what I want you to do. And I'm all for that. I'll do what you want me to do if you're a good girl or a good guy. I will. Now, if you're a stinker, I'd make no promises. But if you're a good church member, solid church member, and you do good, man, I'll do everything I can, jump over mountains or whatever to honor you and what you actually want presented at your funeral. I will. I will. But if you're no good, I make no promises. So you better be good, you know, for goodness sake. Okay? All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I asked Brother Rick, you know, Barbara, when she passed away, I was in Florida. It was all during the COVID time, and so they had everything, all this stuff, restrictions going on. And so the girls, they decided just to have a graveside there, and we'll come back later and we'll do a memorial service, which never happened. And I've always been troubled about that. And the other day when Betty passed away, it was just too much. I said, I've got to do something about this. I talked to Miss Dory about it. And I said, I've got to do something about this. It just, God, I have no peace about this. This was my secretary for 17 years. And I never stood on her behalf and gave honor to whom honor is due. And I just felt like there's something missing. You know, it's just like, you know, Larry today, you know, he just felt something missing in his life. And by the way, it's all resolved now. And thank God for it, and his salvation is settled. But this is the obituary that was given then. Barbara Ann Phillips of Mesquite, Texas, went to be with our Lord on Friday, July 4th, in this 2020. Barbara was raised in Dallas, Texas, by Lorene and Henry Martin, who preceded her in death. And she graduated from Adamson High School in 1951. She was a young girl, you know. Boy, I loved her. Yeah, there she is. That's my girl right there. Oh, man, Barbara. Boy, that brings back a lot of memories. Barbara was also preceded in death by her loving husband of 41 years, Donald Phillips. She called him Donald because she's got a brother named Don, so they had to do something different, you know. It's Donald. She said, oh, Donald. You know, it's all with him. And her daughter, Kathy Jocelyn. Barbara survived by her brother, Don Martin. Linda, her sister-in-law, Joanne Short. Joanne had been to our church many times through the years. She was a member of Brother Wade's church over there. It used to be Mesquite. They moved out there to, not Sunnyvale. Anyway, that way, south of Mesquite. And then her, let's see, I lost my spot. Joanne Short, her daughter, Sarah Hurst, Jim, Lorene Boyd, Cliff, her stepsons, Donald Phillips Jr., there's another one, Cindy John Phillips and her grandchildren, Natalie Maxfield, Sean, Davon Hurst, Luke Boyd, and Margot Unruh, Dayton, and many other wonderful nieces and nephews and great-grandchildren from her very large blended family. Early in Barbara's career, she owned and operated a beauty salon in Cassaview. Now, that was Cassaview back when it was the thing, to place to go to. Okay, wow, how things have changed. As a matter of fact, she used to live in Oak Cliff when Oak Cliff was the place to live. Now, not so much. She then went to work as a bookkeeper for Western Art Auto, and that was right there north of the old church where it was located, until her retirement. That's when people worked at one company for a long time. That didn't happen too often these days. In retirement, she worked also as secretary for New Heights Baptist Church, which Barbara and her husband, Donald, were devoted members for many long years. And of course, she was secretary for me for 17 years. Of course, Brother Don was a Sunday school teacher, a music teacher. He got where he, you know, couldn't hardly get up. He had bone on bone on one day, and he said, aren't you sure you wouldn't rather have a younger guy get up here? And I said, absolutely not. As long as you can get up here, even I have to cart you up here, I'd rather have you up here. And so Barbara was a loving, uplifting, and cheerful person. And that she was. She was rarely down on anything. And when she was concerned, it was almost always about her girls. Almost always about her girls. Always had a big smile and compliment for everyone she encountered. I never felt anything but love and support, you know, from Barbara. And she had a good business sense about her. She would take care of things before they ever got to me because she just knew me so well. She knew what my position would be. So guys that would try to do an end around of the secretary, she cut them off. Boy, she was good at it. And she was just such a fine person to work with. The only downside is she wasn't used to all of the computer programming that we had to do, you know, instead of the triplicate copies. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But, you know, she's not the only one. Bill Landrum, I got a real funny story I'll tell you about one day. He's just picking up all the trash and putting it back in the filing. I'd throw him in the trash. But she had a hard time. And every once in a while, I'd have to train her and retrain her the next year on the same software or sometimes an updated software, the, you know, church management stuff and the finances. And so, but she was always willing to learn and would just jump in. And I'm sorry, I'm so dumb. And she was never dumb. She was always a smart cookie. Her dad, of course, worked for the IRS, and she was just a jewel. And I really count it a privilege to have known Barbara. And just to been just kind of like that with me for all those many years. And man, I miss her. I do. I miss her. And God bless her. Now I've asked three of our ladies. Miss Rose, I'm going to help you get it one up here. Miss Rose is going to go first, and then Miss Sherry, and then Miss Dory. I asked them, okay, well, you're already up here. Well, I don't need to help you. Okay. I asked these ladies because, of course, they knew Barbara. And knew what she was all like. So you say whatever you want to say.
It's not fair for you to go first and take my words.
Oh, did I take your words? Well, it's not fair. You'll take it out on me later.
I may be looking pretty calm, but my heart is vibrating. I am not a public speaker, and that's why I asked to go first, because I didn't want to follow Sherry and Dory. I appreciate that. In Proverbs 31, it speaks about a virtuous woman. When you say virtuous, you're talking about strong, wise, gentle, godly, and friends to all. And Barbara was indeed friends to everybody. And I was going to say she had preceded in death by her husband and one of her daughters. Barbara went to work for a company in South Garland before she met Don. And she was a bookkeeper there. And her desk was not too far away from another desk, and there was a young lady working there, and her name was Shirley. It turns out to be Don's sister. They didn't know that then. But they became pretty good friends, and Don, in the meantime, was a courier for that company. And so he came there pretty often. And he came there one time and dropped off his transactions, whatever it was. And he noticed somebody and just kind of nodded, and he left. But that phone call to his sister Shirley that night was quick and swift. I want to know, who is that girl? Who's that lady?
Amen.
And he caught her eye really quick. And next time he came, he nodded and spoke to her, but he didn't go too far too fast. But eventually he asked her out, and she said no. She wasn't going
to
go. And So Don called Shirley and said, I need your help.
Yeah.
And Shirley did convince her to accept a date, and they went out to dinner and turned into the, you know the rest of the story, they did get married. I was very fortunate to have lunch with Barbara every Monday for years. We settled the world's problems and everything else, but it was a very fun time and a very nice time, but I never got back home without feeling a little bit wiser and a little better. She always had something that she could uplift me or just gives me wisdom. She was a wise person. This morning, Brother Rick spoke on devotion to our church and to reading our Bible and to prayer and so forth. And devotion is loyalty, and it's dedication, and it's commitment. And again, we're describing Barbara. She was very loyal and dedicated to our church, to all of our friends, and everyone in church was her friend and her pastor. And that's why we all loved her dearly. She was my good friend.
Amen. James, could you come? All right, sure. I can't be in two places at once.
Y'all, Barbara was a mess. She was a little bit country.
Yeah.
I appreciate you letting me speak about beautiful Barbara today. And friends, thank you for your patience with my nerves. She was an absolutely lovely soul. She was a pretty cute girl, too.
Yeah.
I believe she was instrumental in helping our pastor become the great leader he is today because she took all the stuff off his plate. She was the epitome of a Proverbs 31 woman, a great wife to Brother Don. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She was a great asset to our church with all she handled in the office, and everyone that she loved and cared for and encouraged. Proverbs 31:19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She was usually dressed to the nines with her hair and makeup just so. Proverbs 31:22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Brother Don was a well-respected elder, and Barbara was so proud to be his wife. Proverbs 31:23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Our sweet Barbara showed so much love, compassion, and wisdom in her daily life. Us younger women, back then, wanted to emulate her actions in our own lives. She helped us grow in the Lord just with her love and compassion and her wisdom. Proverbs 31:25-26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. But most of all, Barbara Phillips was the most godly woman I've ever known. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Even godly blessed lives aren't promised heaven on earth, and the cruel disease of Alzheimer's took our girl from us long before her soul joined our Lord in heaven. Even then though, Barbara carried herself with a quiet dignity and tender heart. And to close, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Barbara Phillips was an absolutely beautiful soul. She was a pretty cute girl, too.
Brother Don would always pick Barbara, you know, when he'd be flirting her or something, ba 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 ba. That's when he wanted to go out.
I'm moving his Bible because I have my own. Sorry. Barbara was country. You've already heard that. She was one of those ladies that had an accent. If you had a one-syllable name, she always made it a two-syllable name. It was always Steve, never Steve. Anyway, that was Barbara. She was such a sweet lady, and I loved her dearly, probably because she loved me. And she made never left a doubt in my mind that we were loved. And so one time, and I'm going to tell a couple of little funny stories on her, but we were out to eat with them on a Sunday afternoon at church, after church. We'd gone to Luby's and standing in line there, and Barbara and I were talking, and Steve and Don were talking, and Barbara said, I just love Pastor. He is the best preacher. His sermon last week was the best I ever heard. And I'm listening to her, and I said, Barbara, you were out of town last week. She said, oh, but I'm sure it was the best he's ever preached. She loved her pastor. And she loved me and my children. And back when we were young, when we had small children, the ladies of the church always jumped in to help. Neither one of us had family here, and so Miss Barbara was one of those ladies that would help and jump in and help us do things that we needed to do. And on one occasion, now this story's kind of about me and her, and so I'm telling on myself here, but my kids had gone to stay with my parents in San Angelo, and I was going to go and meet them halfway to pick them up. And Miss Barbara volunteered to go with me. She didn't want me to have to go and pick up the kids by myself and drive all the way back. And so we were meeting my family there in Eastland, Texas at the McDonald's. So we drove all the way down there. And we talked and laughed. And she told stories and I told stories. And we were just having a good time, not paying attention to anything at all. Now, if you're full of wisdom, you'll know that that's not wise when you're driving. And so we got all the way to Eastland, and I looked down at my gas gauge, and I said, you know, we probably should get gas before we head back. And she agreed. And we went into McDonald's. We had lunch. We gathered all the kids. I told my mom and dad goodbye. We put the kids in the van, and we headed back. And we're driving along east, headed east on Interstate 20, and we got close to, we were getting close to Weatherford, but not there yet, and all of a sudden I heard this ding. And I looked up, and there was this little, whatever you call it, a scale there that said I had 0 miles, oh, I'm sorry, 4 miles till empty. And I was talking to Barbara, and of course, she's such an encourager, and she was telling me, it'll be okay. It's going to be okay. We'll get where we need to go. Don't you worry about it. And I'm looking for a gas station, and there was nothing, nothing to be seen. So we're driving, and finally, there was an exit, and it looked like a little gas station off to the left. And I got off, and she's still encouraging me all the way, and the kids are, you know, playing and laughing in the back seat. And we got off, and we started to turn, and we realized that gas station was deserted. So we kept going straight, got back on the interstate, headed down, and Barbara still encouraged me all the way, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And I'm biting my nails. This is like, oh, no. And I looked up at that little thing, and it said 0 miles till empty. And you could see a gas station down the way. And got off the interstate, and it was an incline. And as we got to that stop sign up at the top, I said, I'm not stopping. We coasted through the stop sign and turned. We had to go across the bridge to get to the gas station on the other side. Going across the bridge, the car died. Nothing left. Now, mind you, Barbara was about 65, 66. She was older than I am now. And when it died, I said, what do we do? She said, push it. She opened her door and I opened my door, and we both jumped out of the van, and she was pushing with everything she had. We got to that stop sign, and I guess everybody that was there, it was a four-way stop, could see what was going on, and they didn't mind that we coasted through that stop sign too. And thank the Lord, it was a hill, downhill to the gas station. We both jumped in, and we coasted into the gas station. And she said, see, I told you it was going to be okay. I'm so thankful for Barbara's encouragement all through the years, even in times such as that. She was a help to me and an encourager to me. She always was kind to my children. But one of the things that she always told me about, she said, treasure these times when your kids are young. They go by so quickly, and they're the best times of your life. And she truly believed that, and looking back on it, I think I'm almost convinced, but I sure am enjoying being a grandma. I'm not sure that being a grandma isn't just as good or better than being a mom of four young children. One of the verses that Barbara always shared with me, and probably many others as well, was Romans 8:26. She said she had it rubbed to a smooth, almost like she'd used sandpaper in her Bible. It was just smooth and rubbed, maybe almost gone. I don't remember how she would describe it, but Romans 8:26, she's likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let me read that again. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And she said she would stop in her prayers and say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray, but I know your Spirit does. And she would encourage me to do the same thing. I'm thankful for the time that we had with Barbara. What an encourager she was. What a blessing she was to our lives and to our church, to New Heights Baptist Church, and even to my husband, his favorite secretary.
Well, we're supposed to tell the truth, right? By the way, I probably shouldn't say this, but those little things are called idiot lights up there. All right? That's what they're called. Okay. Pay attention to those things, you know. And the only one I know that runs out of gas more than any woman is Brother Greg Woodcock, sitting right back there. He'll run out of gas more than anybody else in the whole world. That's the gospel truth, and I'll swear to it. I will absolutely swear to it. But I'd like to go back and visit just a little bit of the psalm that we read, Psalm 23. Of course, it's a historical psalm. It's a psalm that many times is read at funeral services. And it's just been such a blessing to so many people down through the years. I mean, I'm sure millions of people by this time, this great psalm. And again, I'd like to bring just a little bit of a message from that, as was one of Barbara's favorites. Again, of course, this is the Psalm of David. This is when David was an older man. So older people have a little bit more reflective view on life than younger people do. And that's really understood as you read through the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, a shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, this king was first the shepherd boy. And so he had a great deal of knowledge and understanding about what it meant to be a shepherd. And so he pens this, of course, and so used of God. And but he was raised, and of course, in the hill country of Israel. And the psalm starts off that the Lord is. And that's the basis for all that follows. If we're going to come to God, we must believe that he is and that he's good, or we never would pursue him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently pursue him. So the Lord is, and that's the basis for all that follows here in the psalm. It's because the Lord is, we can have anything good in this life. If you have a good relationship, if you have good health, if you have anything good, it's anything good. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. So every good thing we enjoy in this life is a good gift of God's grace to us. And so it's not only in this life, it's even the life that goes beyond. And this life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. It's gone so fast. I mean, you know, young people, you think, well, I'm just going to live forever. Don't bet on it, because you'll turn around and you'll be old. The brother Paul, he's a picture taker, I tell you. And he got, Brother Joe and Brother Jerry and me all together wanted to take our picture. I said, it's the gray beard pictures, you know, the gray beard pictures out there. And, you know, it used to, when I would grow a beard, it was black. Well, it's not black no more. So life has a way of speeding up as you pass along through it. But it's because our Lord is that we exist even at all. It's because we have our being. In him we have our being. He is the gluon that holds our ears where they're supposed to be and our nose where it's supposed to be. Or we would all look pretty doggone funny. Can you imagine that? But it's because the Lord is, the second thought is even possible, I shall. So we shall not do anything except but the Lord is. The first section of the psalm, we find the Lord is shepherd with the relationship that is protective, nurturing, one who feeds his sheep, and one of discipline. That's a part, that's the role of a shepherd, is to discipline the sheep if they need to. That stick can hurt a little bit if it's a need to be exercised. The second part of the relationship, of course, is as a friend or a host at a special banquet. So he's a good shepherd, but he's also a great host. And it's certainly prophetic, because as a Christian, we all have a heavenly pasture awaiting us, and that is the provision of rest that is promised by Almighty God for us. And of course, that is a super, super experience waiting us. It's going to be so very satisfying. It's going to be so sweet. I was talking to Miss Jimmy today about Brother Tony, who passed at 1:30 this morning, just this very morning, and reassured her that he is with the Lord. And that body is not him. That was the envelope of who we really are. It's just the envelope. All right, now it's a pretty important envelope. You know, pretty important. You know, it's pretty important. But it's not us. The us, true us, is the inward person, the soul that is within us. Now, with this in mind, let's just go through a few of these things. Number one, God is able to heal our distresses. Not distress, but distresses. Because if you live life any period of time, you're going to have more than one distress in life. You're going to have some stresses, you're going to have some times that you're really pulled beyond what you think that I can handle. People say all the time, I can't handle this. And I say, yes, you can. They say, I can't. No, I can't. Yes, you can. How do you know? How can you so confidently say that I can handle this? Because God says so. God says so. So you can handle this. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Shared with us in the text after a tender analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's because the Lord is our shepherd that we shall not lack. It's because He's the shepherd. I'm glad I'm not the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. So everything I need for my journey of life, and it is a journey. It's a big journey. Everything I need and everything you need, everything Barbara needed, everything Don needed, is provided by God. Every bit of it. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth. He gives me what I need. What I need. And God alone, God alone is the one that can do this, because He's the only one who has all power and all knowledge. None of us have what is necessary to do what God does for us. He does that, and He is to be praised, and He alone for that. He, of course, can give us the refreshing water and food we need to replenish our souls. And I'm talking about physical food. I'm talking about the spiritual nutrients that we need to keep us going. And more often than not, to give us a bounce in our step and a gleam in our eye to boot. It's sort of like, you know, you can give your kids a sundae, but what's a sundae without some whipped cream? Or not whipped cream, but whipped cream and cherry on top. What's a sundae without whipped cream and cherry on top? God is a master at putting the whipped cream and cherry on top of life. And all the great memories we have, we would not have any of those memories if it were not for the good gifts of Almighty God. One said, when the soul grows sorrowful, God revives it. When it's sinful, God sanctifies it. When it's weak, God strengthens it. When it wanders, and we have a tendency like sheep, what, to wander astray? Okay? He brings us back. He brings us back. Number two, God is able to show us the way. He leadeth me beside the paths of righteousness. Now, life is not just a pasture for us to go lie down in. It's a place for us to walk from and to go to and fro and in our business, our adventures in life, business adventures, relationship adventures, family adventures, and just sometimes just going on travels and going on adventures like that, going to Rome, going to Italy, going to Italy, wherever you want to go. All those things are provided, of course, by the strength of God, walking and, of course, in the Spirit. Now, Paul talks about this. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number three, God is the one that gives us a purpose in life. And we are never as fulfilled in life until we learn how to follow the purpose of God for our life. Listen, if you are self-driven, and I don't mean by that, you know, you don't have some discipline behind you. If your goals are determined by you or not determined by God, they're not going to be near as satisfying to your life as if God sets the course. If God lays, there's the goal, son, go for the gold. All right? You want that and you want nothing else. That's what you want. That's what's going to be the most fulfilling for your life. The happiest you could ever be is fulfilling God's will for your life. God's not a fuddy-dud. He has the very best things in mind in store for us if we'll just follow Him and follow His lead. It's amazing. Give us purpose. Verse 3 says, for His name's sake. Our lives are not to be lived to ourselves. Barbara was a selfless lady. Man, she was selfless. She was a giver. She knew the finances because she kept the books. And there were times in those early years, man, we didn't have near what we have now. I mean, a long way from it. We are so blessed. You have no idea how blessed we are. You know, there are times we didn't have. We just didn't have. And I happen to know she'd pull out her own checkbook and she'd write a check to help us through those hard times. She's that type of girl. She said, man, just what a woman. And it wasn't that she was wealthy. She wasn't wealthy. Now, she had some means, you know, from her dad, from her family. They had a farm out. She's from Henderson, Texas, so she's East Texas girl. That's why she gives more syllables to words, you know. Where are you from? Henderson, you know, that kind of thing. It is true. But God gives us the purpose. She didn't live life for herself. She lived life for the Lord. She lived life for her family. But she lived life for the Lord first and foremost. I happen to know that because she had always talked with me about the things of the children. Of course, the children were grown children. And she'd talk about those, but always in light of keeping the priority of serving God first and foremost. To love the Lord thy God with all that. She'd always put God first. She wanted her family. She wanted her family to be blessed. But she would not allow her family to interrupt the things of Almighty God in their life. And that, man, that was powerful to me. It was powerful. We were raising our little ones, you know. But that was very powerful. Don't get the priorities out of whack. All right, keep them straight. Stay straight. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our greatest purpose on earth is to serve the risen Savior with all of our heart. And I talked about that last week. Giving God your heart. Giving Him true self. Giving Him your full love and loyalty. Number four, God is able to give us confidence. Not confidence in the flesh. That's going to fail us. All right? Some of you are very bright, and that's a trap because you kind of start leaning on your, gifts, your talents, instead of leaning on the Lord and trusting Him for your successes. And sometimes Satan sees that you get enough of those successes in the bag so that he can get you to go down that trail even further and be further deceived. Well, that's not what you need to do. It says, yeah, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Now, one of the banners, of course, of God is He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's why we should fear no evil, because God, the all-powerful, the almighty one, He's the one that's with us. Not a weak one, but the most strong person in all the universe. Better than Iron Man. I told you the other day, I told Brother Ben, he said, man, are you hip or what? And I said, ain't I? And because I just used Iron Man. Man, if you don't have the suit, you're vulnerable. And if you don't have the suit in Christ, you're vulnerable to life. You need the suit. You must have the suit. You can't handle life without the suit. You can't handle life as you should without Christ. That's why it's so important that, number one, you encourage people to be saved first. Worry about all those other things. They'll take care of themselves. But first, you need to make sure that you're a child of God. Now you have that power within. Now you have that insight, the wisdom that lives within. Now you have the struggle. Man, you have Him. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so it's imperative that we get that suit on. Get that suit on. God is able to give us comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I never thought about the belt of my daddy as being comforting. When he had to whip that thing out of his belt, he'd come across those belt loops, That's like Morse code. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad news. But I've learned the fruits that brought in my life, priceless. I'm glad my daddy beat the devil out of me. Now, he didn't beat me, okay? My dad, he spanked me. Now, there were a couple of times I kind of thought it might be a little bit of a beating. But what he meant to do, he meant to let you remember what was going on, and that's not the way to walk. You choose a different way, and I'm going to do my best to encourage you to do a different way. And if you couldn't figure it out by your head, you might figure it out by your rump. All right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, they're comforting not because they exist, but because they belong to Christ, the Good Shepherd. And He's the one that's with us. And Barbara, she struggled. She went through some very difficult times, the mental problems, And that's tough. I have prayed to God that I wouldn't go that way. I have prayed, God, please take me before I'd go that way. It's one of the reasons why, with the bypass surgery, I was, man, Lord, take me now. Take me now. I mean, we have good men. We have good people in place, We have good life insurance. A church is going to do good. Wife will do good. I mean, hey, I've got it all set up. You've got Brother Mike, Rick Michael in charge of that thing, and Brother Daniel, they take care of her and Miss Dory, and everything would be fine. Take me home, right? Well, just not my time. But it's comforting to know that He's the one in charge. He's in charge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And really, for the Christian, we're not dying, we're just kind of passing through, see? We're just kind of doing a little dip in the road, you know, and just passing through, and we're off to a far, far better place. And two more. God is able, number six, to give us provisions, but not only provisions, but the best is provisions under pressure. Under pressure. There's a big difference just kind of coasting along in life and when you're in a pressure cooker. And you really need God even more so when you're in a pressure cooker situation. Thou, verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Do you have enemies? They say a person is known by their friends and a person is known by their enemies. And if you live for Christ, you're going to have some enemies. You're going to have people who are going to be against you. Provisions. Before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Just the fighting men of Joshua were circumcised right under the nose of the enemy. Right under the nose of the enemy. When those men were circumcised, okay, I'm not going to go any further than that. When they were circumcised, right under the nose of the enemy, they would have been highly vulnerable to attack by the pagan enemies. You can't fight too good, okay? I'll just leave that right there. You just can't fight too good when that has happened, all right? And they would know that. So their trust in Almighty God had to spike during that time. They had to really have a great confidence in God to submit to God's will for their life. That God's going to take care of this. God will protect us. Well, that's powerful. When you know that, you have that resolve. Just like Dory's talking about with Barbara. God's going to take care of it. Just a strong resolve, strong faith. God will take care of it. Paul said it this way. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who? Who indeed? Who? You? Me? Not me. I'm not going to get in God's way. I learned a long time ago there is a God and I'm not Him. I love Him and I serve Him, but I'm definitely not Him. Number seven, God is able to give us eternal goodness. Not only goodness, but eternal goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Verse 6, you see that? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we leave this house, we leave the house of God, and we should be members of a New Testament church. And when we leave this house, guess where we're going? His house. His other house. All right? In my Father's house are many mansions. So he says, well, that really means rooms. Well, you know, Hotel 6 has rooms. Our places in heaven are not rooms. They're mansions. Now they're rooms, but they're mansion rooms. Okay? So mansions is the right thing that we ought to hold on to that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness suggests a steady kindness and support one can count on, all provided through the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. People will let you down. Earthly people, sooner or later, they'll let you down. They'll disappoint you. Somebody says, well, I don't like being hurt. Well, join the crowd. If you don't like being hurt, you better, more than anybody else, want to go to heaven. Because that's the only place you won't be hurt. Here, you're going to be hurt. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Oh, I can't believe somebody hurt my feelings. Well, that's earth. This place is cursed. God didn't want you to live here forever. This isn't heaven. He wants us to look forward to that time to be joyfully joined with Him. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful psalm. Barbara loved this psalm. She just loved it. She said she'd read it. I just love that. I just love that. I just love that with her East Texas dialect, you know. She was a special lady. We'd go see her, and I'd still get that lump in my throat just to go see her. Walk around the corner and see her there and sitting by the table. And these nurses have been trying to get her to eat something, you know, for the last 2 hours, and she wouldn't eat anything. She was just a little bitty thing, you know, just really got so very small. And I'd sit there at the table, and I'd take that little spoon, and I'd feed my girl. And she would eat for me. She would eat. I fed her the word for all those years. So maybe it was okay with her if I fed her some green beans or whatever it was, you know. But she would take little bitty bites and I'd hold that up to her tender little mouth and she would take it. I look forward to seeing her again. Let's stand.